Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Burt Show.
If you haven't been listening the last couple of days, we have tried to detail for you guys as much as we have been able to the stalemate between Jeff and Cumulus when it came to his contract. Jeff's contract expired on December 31st, and he hasn't been with us all week while they tried to work it out. And it's been they've both been very hard-headed about the whole thing, if you ask me. And it's been a stressful time for everybody in here. It's been very stressful for Jeff and his family also. I have received very few emails the last week that have been enjoyable to read. Because if you think about it, none of them are complimentary. The ones that say, hey, you guys will be fine without Jeff, I get offended by because they belittle Jeff's role on the show. And that's my friend and he's our partner. The ones that say, hey, I won't listen again if Jeff's not there, aren't fun to listen to either, because for obvious reasons, there's nothing I could do about it. The ones that were demanding that I bring Jeff back were frustrating also because I had nothing to do with it. Mm-hmm. I've been fighting for Jeff now for 6 weeks, 8 weeks with corporate, so I'm doing everything I can. So reading the email saying, hey, you got to bring Jeff back or show's never going to be the same. Well, you're right. I mean, I know everything that you guys wrote in emails the last couple of weeks are absolutely true. Mm-hmm. If Jeff leaves the show, it doesn't sound the same. How could it? If Melissa leaves the show and we've got no Melissa, the show changes. And it changes for the worse for a while. And then you got to replace them with somebody, hopefully, that we bring up to the same quality level or beyond, you know? So it has been no joy for anybody the last couple of weeks, for sure. It's taken its toll on everybody in here. We've all sort of been on edge. The studio has felt empty to us the last couple of days, too, partially because Melissa wasn't here as well. But not having Jeff in here has left a huge void for all of us. So, I don't know. I've been getting the tweets and the emails, and I've just been getting more and more frustrated the last couple of days because there's nothing I could do about it. Mm-hmm. We've done everything that we can. If Jen could run over to Cumulus the last couple of days and, you know, figure out a way to get this done, it would have happened. Wendy, too. Melissa, I'm not so sure.
No.
I don't have
that. Would have interrupted nap time.
Yeah. And I would have had to get on a phone to make the appointment. I'm not going to do
too
that.
Much effort. No. Too much. Just tell me tomorrow what happened.
Yeah. Just fill me in later, whatever.
So the bottom line is this, is that through weeks and weeks and weeks and months of negotiations that Jeff Dollar is coming back to the Burt Show. Okay, we are going to be a family again.
Good.
And I don't know the details of the whole thing, but I do know this, that Jeff should be here any second.
He will
be in the studio this morning, and it is thankfully done.
You're sure?
Yes.
It's like signed on the dotted line, done.
It has been so close to being done for a while now, but I am, much like you, so skeptical that anything could turn. Because these negotiations...
There he is.
Hey!
Hi, Jeff Dollar.
Get over here. Jen was just asking, are we 100% certain this is done?
Sure. Are you really, really sure?
I remember you.
I'm so excited.
Hey. Hi.
Hey, you got a haircut.
Yeah, your hair looks good.
I had a lot of time to do a lot of things.
Yeah, we noticed. We've been working.
Oh. Yeah.
Jen just said to me, are you 100% sure this is done?
Are you 100% sure? Like, signed on the dotted line, done.
Jeff and I have gone through the same thing the last couple of days. Like,
your mic sucks.
Oh, it does?
We weren't going to allow this to happen unless it was 100% signed, sealed, delivered, and signed. Because it really, I mean, things have been so turbulent the last couple of months and last couple of weeks especially that it felt to me like the negotiations were blowing from one end to the other. On one day, Jeff and I would talk and it was like, all right, buddy, looks like it's going to happen. And then the next day, Jeff and I would talk and it was like, doesn't look like it's going to happen. Then the next day it's fine, then it sucked. So he's been on this emotional roller coaster. He's putting his mic in. With Jessica also. And every day, he didn't want to leave. You know? He hasn't wanted to leave either. And every day him and Jessica have been going through this as a family as well.
There were moments.
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. There were moments actually during this whole thing that I almost advised him to take off.
Really?
Yeah, just because of the way everything was handled in some cases, yeah.
But that's all behind us.
Right.
Is it
that's
all
right.
behind us?
Yes.
$50
I don't know
studio.
Why. I want to see it. Like, show me the big Seriously. Stack of papers with that stapler that's extra big. I want to see your signature on it.
I actually thought about bringing it in, like framed. Yeah. Yesterday, or because I signed it yesterday, mm-hmm. And it's not. And I was also. It's not really that big. It's only 3 pages.
Really?
All it's actually only. Pages? It's actually only 2 pages, and I wanted so much more than that. Mm-hmm. Like I wanted.
It had to be bound.
I wanted it in one of those little turny things, like the Da Vinci Code. Like I didn't want just 2 pieces of paper. I wanted something written on the flesh of someone. But whatever. It's done.
Welcome back, Jeff.
You must want to say more than that about it.
Well, yeah, I heard the break with Serial Monogamous this morning, and I'm not going to make her cry yet, but God, you're an idiot. So I hope we can talk about that again. And I honestly...
That wasn't a caller, if you weren't listening. That was Jen Hobby.
Right.
And I haven't listened to the show since... That was the first break I heard was that one this morning, so I missed it.
Well, and also welcome back, because we're glad that you have the key to the cabinet that has all the office supplies in it.
You guys...
Really that's screwed. What we were really upset
you
about.
You guys haven't had...
Spoons.
We came to, have not been able to eat.
We came to that realization a couple of days ago that if for nothing else, you got to come back and at least give us the key to the cabinet.
Give me a straw.
I didn't even think of that. I would have given it to Tracy. I do want to say that, and I wrote about this on my blog, that the attention that this has gotten started out as very humbling, and I'm not good with... You know, I really,
humility?
I really, really like myself, but I'm not comfortable with other people liking me. So at the beginning, like, it was really humbling and really, like, embarrassing. And by yesterday, it was just weird. Like, I seriously felt like there were people walking through hallways of schools, like, with Pepsi cans doing Save Ferris campaigns. Because, I mean, in the whole big scheme of things, not that big of a deal. But I appreciate the fact that everybody, including, you know, you all in this room, but everybody on Facebook and Twitter, and the fact that there was an interest like that, I mean, that made me feel good. So that was cool and almost made it worth it. You know what I mean? Like, to go to bed at night and think, wow, this is really cool. Like, people like me and people like the show and people care. As someone who, was I unemployed or retired?
You're unemployed.
Unemployed?
Yeah.
I want to come out of retirement. Can I be retired instead?
Yes.
I guess you could say that.
Okay. So when I was retired...
Were you planning on not working ever again?
Yeah, there was a minute there where I was like...
I know there were some people that were trying to make that happen.
Yeah, there was a minute there where I was wondering if a guy could sell Mary Kay or a Pampered Chef. But during that time, that brief time, like earlier this week and reading all the messages... it became apparent how, like, the people that my parents listened to on their little clock radio in the kitchen when they were getting ready, and then how integral and comfortable that becomes part of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember distinctly who I listened to, who my parents listened to, and then when I became probably 16 and got my own car, like, who I listened to, and, you know, those different morning shows and stuff. And I was reminded of, you know, like, what we do is... kind of a big deal. You know what I mean? Like, it's superficial, but it's a comfort thing. So there's also an appreciation there for the people who are fans and who have supported us. I have a lot of appreciation for the fact that they're allowing us to be the ones to be in their kitchen or bedroom or shower or car every morning. Like, that's really cool.
And I've worked on a lot of different morning shows, but the passion level of Burt Show listeners is something pretty unique to me.
Always has been to me.
It always has been, but you really got to see it the last couple of days, for sure, one way or the other. Yeah. People are passionate.
I was going to say, from before I ever even joined the show, and you guys doing Masha's graduation,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that was the listeners' passion and support coming forward to make that happen. Burt's Big Adventure exists because our listeners are passionate about what we do. You know, we're able to do all kinds of amazing things throughout this community because of the listeners, and I think you're right. I think they showed up in full force when there was the possibility of Jeff not being here.
For the one or two or three of you guys that thought this was some kind of publicity stunt for ratings, I... with 100% wholeheartedly tell you this had zero to do with any kind of publicity stunt. This has all been 100% authentic. And I would never put our staff through that, and I would never put you guys through that. This is not like an April Fool's joke.
Right.
I mean, this is our lives, and we do take it very seriously that we got to entertain you guys before you get into work or school, and there's a trust between the two of us. And we wouldn't stunt with you guys with something this big.
We wouldn't be as exhausted as we all are if it were a stunt.
Yeah. Especially coming off of a vacation week when listenership is down. If we'll stunt, we're going to do it in primetime rating season when listenership's up.
April, May, or June, baby.
We're not wasting it right now. We'll do it. It'll happen at 7:15 when we're kicking off our $1,000 giveaway, people, on Monday. Not now.
Hey, Michael, good morning. You're on Q100.
Hey, thank goodness that Jeff is back. Yeah, I love the Bert Show, but it's been on a comedy hiatus since he's been gone.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah, again, like, I don't know how to respond to stuff like that. Again, there are no comments or no emails that feel good, because I think the show has been fine the last couple of days. but when you take a call like that, it's offensive for the people that are in here. So there has been no constructive criticism or no email or no call the last couple of days that sits well on it, any level. Because the ones that came in that said that it's been fine without you are offensive also to me, because you're part of our team.
Mm-hmm. And they're wrong.
Hey, Susan, good morning. You're on Q100.
Good morning. I want to offend anybody. I just want to say welcome back, Jeff. I'm so happy, and now I don't have to send out any more emails.
Thanks, Susan.
Hey, Amy, good morning. You're on Q100. Hi.
Hey, I just want to tell Jeff I'm about to cry. I'm so happy to hear him on the radio.
All of us are.
That's awesome, but I feel weird about that. I'm not worth it.
Oh, yeah. I've been following you on your blog and everything all week, so it's like everything's good now.
That was a well-constructed blog yesterday,
by the way.
The
Jersey Shore blog.
You did a great job.
What do you mean?
Good. Good morning, Michelle. You're on Q100.
Hey, guys. I was so worried this was going to be like a Tusha thing. I didn't listen to y'all until y'all took over from 99X, but he just adds something to the whole team, and I'm glad y'all are whole again.
Absolutely. So. I think you guys are all saying what we were feeling the last couple of days.
Y'all are awesome.
Thank you.
The Tusha thing was one of those veiled compliment things. I get what you're saying. Very talented, but God, that guy looked bad at the end of his morning show run here in Atlanta.
Good morning, Kim. You are on Q100. Hi.
Hey there. How you guys doing this morning?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I just wanted to say welcome back, Jeff. I love you so much. I love each and every one of you. I think you all add something very different and special to the show, and I'm just so glad he's back.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Jessica done with this whole thing? I got a whole bunch of emails wondering how the family has done the whole thing, because you go through one of these, everybody in your life goes through it.
She's fine. It's, it was a weird journey, and I joke about the blog thing, but if you do read the blog, there is never a place where my future was in danger. Like, there's never a place where I was going to lose a house. You know what I mean? So that made everything okay. There's certainly a lot of frustration and a lot of anger and a lot of questioning, you know, which, you know, door to open or whatever, however you want to say it. And that, I think, was really stressful for both of us, especially making decisions despite... I feel like it's almost like asking out the person who just called you really ugly and fat. You know what I'm saying? Like, that there was a lot of that.
During the negotiations, you mean?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And at the end when I... Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of that, like, weird, conflicting, not feeling wanted, but feeling wanted. I will tell you this, and I told this... To Bert on the phone, and I'll have no problem saying this publicly, but the reason I'm in this chair right now is because of the people in this room, and no other reason at all.
Mm-hmm. I understand that.
Yeah, these are tough to go through. They really are. I mean, when you're in any negotiation with any company, it's your job to get the most for your family and the most for yourself, and you take a certain amount of pride in what you do, and you want to feel appreciated. And your company, it's their job to keep you there for as little as they can. They've got budgets to take care of also. And how those two meet in the middle is sometimes very, very difficult. In this case, it hasn't been pretty at all. And there's ramifications, I mean, that are probably your attitude is going to be different towards the company because it didn't go as well as you wanted it to. I mean, it's done. We're a family again.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But there's still, I mean, there's some things that – in any negotiation, if it's not handled well or you don't feel it's handled well, those linger.
Indeed.
And I think you're going to feel that for a while. But what we do have here is special, and the company saw that, And Jeff knows that, and we all know that also. Mm-hmm. So it's together again.
I'm so excited. Sigh of relief.
It is together again.
And I really am. I do. I do appreciate the well wishes, but God, I am so embarrassed by it. Like, it's really not. I don't get embarrassed easily. Especially, I don't get embarrassed when people are telling me how much they like me. But this is.
It doesn't happen often.
No.
Hey, The Bird Show.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
The Bird Show.
All right, so this guy from the Jersey Shore, if you haven't seen the show, it's a bunch of kids from, like, New York that go on out to the Jersey coast, and they party all summer long. And the storyline is very similar to probably most of you guys that used to do this when you were younger. You'd go to the shore and you just get drunk and you try to have sex all summer.
Well, and they're self-proclaimed Guidos and Guidettes, mm-hmm. too. So the Italian-American organizations around the country are really upset about this show. There's been a ton of advertisers that have pulled their ads from the show because, what do they call it, like ethnic bashing? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because these people are such uber stereotypes of what, like, young Italian Americans are like from Jerseys,
right.
but they are who they are, and they tan and they have lots of gel in their hair and they talk funny. And now there's, like, Guidette, like, name generators online. What did Joanna say she was the other day? Producer Joanna was like
J-Wow or
J something. I don't know. Everybody is, like, all about this.
It's a really, really, really funny show. And even if you don't watch it, I think there's some entertainment value in listening to this guy. He calls himself The Situation. And this starts off with just a little sample of the show, just in case you haven't seen The Jersey Shore yet.
Girls love Guidos. I'm not even joking. I know girls that just go for that. I mean, you can hate on me all you want to, but what can you possibly say to somebody that looks like Rambo pretty much with his shirt off?
Hello.
Mike Sorrentino.
How are you?
Good. How are you today, man?
I'm doing great. I'm just, having loving life right now.
What percentages are you hitting at when you go into a club? If you go out there and you approach 10 women, how many of them are giving you a phone number?
Okay, before the show, percentages, me going into a club, were probably out of 10 women, and they're all hot. I would say, I had I'm being very real. I would say a 70% chance of getting what I wanted. Now, nowadays, it's out of 10 women, let's just say 20.
Really?
Really? So
it's helped. It hasn't hurt you in any way, shape, or form.
No way. I can't even go out in public without people mobbing me. But I've been next to some pretty hot chicks lately.
That's awesome. All right, Mike, I've got to know, how do you respond to all these sponsors who are calling your show ethnic bashing? Because, like, Dell, American Family Insurance, and Domino's have already pulled out of MTV because they don't like your show and the way you're representing Italian Americans.
I feel bad for those sponsors because it's one of the biggest rated shows out there right now. And, that's okay. There's shows out there for every advertiser, which I'm starting to learn, why the advertisers are on each show. So if they don't want to be a part of, our show, that's fine. There's other advertisers that are want to, gladly fill in their place, for our ratings and, our future ratings, which I know people are probably signing up at the door for.
I know this is kind of a deep question, but do you feel somehow, some way, that you're betraying your heritage? Because a lot of people have never been to Jersey, don't know anybody Italian, and you're the only connection they have with the Italian community?
Oh, well, you know what? I mean, and now that nobody has ever pointed it out to me like that, I'll be the first one to tell you that I'm not representing anybody but myself, okay? I'm having fun. I'm a guy in my 20s. I'm single. And what you see out there is exactly, what happens sometimes. Now, as per, the style and the spiky hair and the six-packs and all, that just happens to be the style of some of us in the house.
And all of you.
All of you.
Can't point the finger at anybody, whether you have spiky hair, six-pack, or blonde hair and sandals. I mean, whose hands are clean enough to point?
I'm going to have to chew on that one. It's a great show, man. And seriously, it feels like back in the day when I was going to Delaware and doing the beach house thing, it's the same thing, except you guys are doing it in Jersey. But things don't change.
And I'm getting a lot of questions on where the name The Situation stems from.
The Situation, the name came from, I was with a couple buddies, and we were at a beach club. You know, girls have bikinis, and, you know, guys have shorts. And at that particular time, I was trying to do underwear modeling. And, you know, year-round, I'm usually ripped, really ripped. And I just have really good genetics. And I was walking around, and some girl was holding her boyfriend's hand. And as she walked by me, she was like, "Oh, my God, honey, look at his ass." I mean, if you're holding your boyfriend's hand, out of respect for him, you just don't do that. And my buddies that were with me were like, "Dude, that's a situation right there," and just jokingly saying. And then I looked down, and I was like, "Yeah, that is a situation," and it kind of...
That's awesome.
Are you definitely the best-looking cast member, would you say?
I would have to say that overall, I think I might be the best-looking cast member. I'm very real, and, you know, I think that, you know, I do... some of the other castmates are good-looking, but... you know, you gotta believe in yourself.
Gotta wrap it, guys.
Well, I feel the same way about this cast.
Hey.
Situation, hey. Thanks a lot, man. Appreciate it. Good luck with the show, dude.
Oh, thank you so much, guys. You guys were awesome. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
All right, talk to you later.
Take care.
If I walked in the door and seen myself, I'd probably grab my girl real quick.
The Burt Show.
Mariah Carey obviously hammered a couple of nights ago in Palm Springs. She's accepting some kind of award in Palm Springs, right?
Mm-hmm. And please forgive me because I'm a little bit, yeah.
That went on that for 5 minutes.
I think she's more. I think there's more to it than just champagne.
You think she's hot?
Listen, yes. Listen to that. That is a stoner. If somebody walks up to you and says this, then they are stoned.
And please forgive me because I'm a little bit
baked.
Yeah.
Ben.
I don't know, Melissa.
Yes.
Your opinion on that?
Well, you know what? I hold my opinion because, I think that regardless of what happened, because why would you call me out to recognize something like that?
just
but
happened to be in front of me.
I do like the fact that she acknowledged it.
Yeah,
though,
me too.
You know, because
then
if she doesn't acknowledge it, then it becomes, oh, what's happening to Mariah Carey, her career, you know, it must be unhappy at her marriage and all these
prescription
speculations.
Yes. It's happening to her too. Yeah, she can't handle the pressure.
No, she said she didn't eat dinner and she had way too much champagne. Straight up, she admitted it. Yeah.
You got plenty of celebrities that have been documented as being inebriated in one way, shape, or form on tape. This is Ben Affleck. He's kind of drunk, and he's in an interview with a Spanish interviewer. And he's got his buzz on pretty good. He just starts coming on to this one.
Well, you usually show a lot more cleavage than this. What's the story? Why are you covering it up today?
Well, it's Sunday morning.
It's Sunday morning. That never stopped me before from getting the. That. Are you trying to fool Sunday morning? You could be in church, you usually have that rack on display. The deacon. Right?
Oh,
okay. Right? That's how it goes. Right? Well,
dang.
I mean, usually it's a bikini and the whole thing. You know, you should work at Fox here in LA. You'd blend right in, they would love you. They do that? Fox LA, they have a pole that they dance on.
And you watch that.
I like that right in my own new team, that I love. Hello, magical one. Oh, my
Hammer.
That's hilarious.
Hammer. Totally inappropriate.
His wife now, Jennifer Garner's got to see that and be like, really? Really, you did that back in the day?
This one's famous here. Paula Abdul, she was promoting American Idol, and she claimed afterwards, I think there was some weird satellite thing going on.
Right.
Right. She smoked a satellite.
There was a point there, you know, there were reports you're going to be kicked off the show. You say Simon Cowell really came to your defense.
Yeah, but nobody from Fox or no one was going to kick me off the show. Those are people wanting it. And for me, it was like, ooh, I finally have edge. Yeah, woo. You know, but Simon does not have anyone who can play in his sandbox as well as I can.
You always wiggle around that much? You're just wiggling around there in New York City.
I'm a dancer. I'm doing little dance moves.
Oh, all right.
Wow.
You couldn't really tell on that one.
You had to kind of see her.
Yeah. We've heard her way worse than that on American Idol. People claim that Britney Spears was nice and stony on this home video.
Oh, this feels so good to itch.
I need to stop doing that.
That feels like heaven. Mama, see what you passed down to me?
Dude, we're gonna do clips of you burping. Because I've got like 20 of them.
I had to say something.
So that's my best friend.
That's her
friend.
And K-Fed.
Yeah,
that was their reality show, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Couldn't even get the words to come out. John Stamos on Australian TV.
Vodka.
Yeah, just, you didn't know Wawa or ice with that or anything?
I forgot, you Australians. I'm just getting over jet lag, you know, mm-hmm. And yesterday I did a bunch of interviews, and I was like kind of half asleep, half awake, and we fly here, you know, for free to promote the shows, you know, and this genius Downey, something Jeffrey Downey, took a shot at me at the papers today at being tired, you know. And you know why? You know why he did that?
Why?
Because he has a small penis.
Oh, well, now you know. That's actually the reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, honey, you obviously don't take criticism well.
I do. I believe me, I make fun of myself more than anything. But when you fly 15 hours for free, you know, and you get
somewhere.
Would
it have made a difference if paid?
Say again?
Would it have made a difference if you'd been paid?
No, you get tired. I woke up this morning at 2:30 and have not slept since.
No.
And he's hammered also. Besides not sleeping, he's also drunk. Then there's Joe Namath here. This is the quintessential one here. Have you guys ever seen this or heard this?
I don't think so.
He's on the sidelines, and he's starting to talk football. And I think you can really hear him slurring through this one. Then he starts coming on to the sideline reporter.
What impresses you about Chad?
I believe everything that anyone else has watched Chad play impresses me. The same thing impresses them. He's a quality, classy quarterback that has a touch on the football. He's not a thrower. He's a passer. His mind is ahead of what the defense is. And if the Jets can support him, they will win the championship.
Joe, it's been a tough season for Jet fans. What does it mean to you now when the team is struggling?
I want to kiss you. I couldn't care less about the team struggling.
I want to kiss you.
I just want to kiss you.
And I love when you're drunk that you think, okay, look, the way I'm going to make sure that people don't think that I'm drunk is by enunciating every syllable. Because that way, if I'm speaking correctly, then you know that I am not drunk.
Because I'm not slurring. I'm saying...
The Bert Show.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Bert Show.
Evan Summerstein joins us. How are you this morning?
I am doing great. Good morning.
Evan is our divorce attorney here. This is the time of year, right? I mean, everybody's been holding out.
Everybody makes it through the holidays, and then the phone starts ringing.
Do you get it like right on January 2nd? Are the voicemails, are you at full capacity when you go into the office?
Get back in the office after the vacation, yeah.
I mean, you have accountants that have tax season. Well, this is like Evan's like Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
This will be the divorce season.
Yeah. No doubt.
Divorce season. Wow.
And we can use the voice disguiser on you guys also. Is there anything, was there anything to holding out till the new year to file? Any advantage of holding out to 2010 rather than being it in 2009?
You mean like a 2009? Tax, like a tax break?
Yeah, or something like that, yeah.
I guess the last minute Christmas presents.
But outside of that, legally nothing.
No, nothing. Technically, you have to be married on January 1, or actually December 31 to file jointly for the previous year.
Okay. So if you're having a problem with your divorce right now, or you've been thinking about it strongly, and you haven't even started yet, then give Evan here a call, and we'll hook you up. 404-741-Q100. Hey, Amy, you're on the voice disguiser.
Hey there. I have a question.
quick question about the rules of alimony and infidelity in Georgia. If you can prove infidelity, do you have to pay alimony?
Under Georgia law, adultery is a bar to alimony. So if the divorce, if the cause of the divorce is adultery, then that would stop you from being able to receive alimony.
Okay, so if you are in a relationship and the adultery was a few years back, does that nullify that cause?
Well, Georgia has something called condonation. So if that behavior has been forgiven by your spouse and you guys have tried to move on and reconciled after the fact, then you can't later raise that as an issue as the cause of the divorce. So it wouldn't be a bar at that point.
So what's the timeline on that, though? So let's say Stacy comes home, she screws around on me. We try to make it work. I try to make it work as hard as I've tried everything. It takes me a year to realize that it's not going to work.
I don't think there's any real timeline. What it really comes down to is, did you guys reconcile or not? I mean, did you get past it? Did you forgive her for her behavior? And then in essence, what the judge says is, look, you forgave her. Why should I not forgive her for the same behavior?
There's such a gray area, though. Like, if I stick around that long, then...
And you're still trying
to say that I forget? Yeah, I'm still forgiving.
Yeah.
That's why you need a good attorney.
Right. That's why I'm calling Evan. All right, Amy. Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. And I think sometimes people tune into the show and they only hear half a conversation. They just heard that Stacy screwed around on me. She did not. I was using that as an example.
That was a hypothetical. Right.
Good morning, Kelly. You are on The Voice Disguiser.
Hi. I was just calling because my husband and I have been together for about 4 years, and I've been in school for about 5 years. And I was just wondering, since I haven't been employed, is there a way I can get alimony since he's been my sole source of income?
Georgia does have alimony, and what you most commonly see nowadays is what's called rehabilitative alimony, which is kind of a short-term alimony for a specific purpose. So that would kind of be a situation where he may help you. The court may ask him to help you get back on your feet after the divorce, so to help you get into an apartment or a house and help you pay the bills as you're getting started.
But you're not going to be taken care of for an extended period of time.
No, you know, I mean, that traditional...
No matter how rich he is, right?
Yeah, I mean, that traditional idea of kind of permanent alimony, lifetime alimony, you don't see it much anymore. I mean, you do in very traditional situations where people have been married for 35 years and one of the spouses hasn't worked that entire period. Well, then, yeah, you may be buying on for lifetime. But especially in a short-term marriage, you said you had been married for 4 years. Definitely not a long-term alimony situation.
Here is Kim. She wants to be on The Voice Disguiser. Hey, Kim, you are on with Evan Summerstein from Hunter Weinstein and Summerstein.
Yes, hi, good morning.
Morning.
I have, I think, a pretty tough situation because my husband and I have 4 children, and they range from the ages of 8 to a year and a half. And I have been wanting to divorce him for several reasons, one of which is alcoholism. And he just doesn't want to, he doesn't want to do it. He says that it's important for us to be together for the children, which I don't agree to, just because of the situation that we're in. And I really don't know how to go about it. I'm just at a loss. I don't know what to do.
A lot of people call my office and they just have no idea how to get started.
Right.
Or people call my office and say, I told my husband or wife I want a divorce and they won't give me a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, it only takes one person to get divorced. The really? Best way to start is contact an attorney, talk to them about what the first steps would be. There's some great information that you can find online also. Fulton County, for instance, even if you're not in Fulton County, great information on their website. I think the address is www.fultonfamilydivision.com. They have forms and all kinds of information on how you'd actually get started on a divorce. The best way to go is just contact an attorney, talk to your friends and see who they've been represented by, if they've been through a divorce. And an attorney can tell you how you get started with the entire process.
Theoretically, could you get a divorce without ever getting a signature from the other party?
Sure. There's a couple situations. One, if you don't know where they're located, if you can't find them, you tried to find them, you can actually get divorced without ever talking to them or seeing them when they do what's called a divorce by publication. But yeah, you don't ever need their consent to do it. I mean, you'd file the complaint with the court and the sheriff would deliver the papers to them. They don't need to sign to say that they've actually received the papers. And then ultimately, if you went to a trial in front of a judge, if they didn't show up, you win pretty easy, I guess.
Did you get what you need there, Kim?
I guess so, yeah. I'll look it up online, and thank you.
Sure.
Bye-bye. Here is Ryan. Good morning. You are on the voice disguiser.
I was calling to see, I was married after I had children. Do I still need to get my children legitimized, or did that happen when we got married?
You later married the mother of your children.
Correct. Under, we have two children.
Under Georgia law, you would be legally recognized as their father if you do later marry their mother.
Okay, thank you so much.
Sure.
Bye-bye. These are simple today, man. We're rattling through these, dude. Not a lot of excuses. Normally we get the whole story and then the question.
Yeah, right, people are ready. Today,
it's after the holidays. They've had two solid weeks with the person they hate. They're like, you don't need the backstory. I hate him. How do I get rid of him? I don't even want to see him. Can I fold it in a paper airplane and throw it through the window?
Hey, Stephanie, good morning. You're on The Voice Disguiser.
Hi. I have a question. I was married for 7 years. And I asked for a divorce 2 years ago, and I met someone about 3 months after that. We're still not divorced. We're separated, and what I understand, legally separated. I left our house and was staying with friends, and so I'm curious if he says I don't get anything. I don't get the house because I'm an adulterer, and I'm wondering if that is the case.
Well, I mean, technically the definition of adultery is having sexual intercourse outside of your marriage. But as far as a divorce goes, that adultery has to be the cause of the divorce itself. And if you could go into court and prove that you are already out of the marriage, you had told him you wanted a divorce before that, and that the adultery is not the cause of the divorce itself, then it's not really that much of an issue. If you were to prove that, then it wouldn't even be a bar to the alimony that we talked about before.
Okay. So right now he illegally has everything, all of my furniture, all of my belongings, and he says that because of what, me being in a relationship now, I don't have any access to any of that or the house or anything, and that he can prove that.
Well, even if there's total uncondoned adultery, that doesn't really affect your rights to a division of marital property. That only really affects the rights as far as the alimony goes. You don't give up your rights to, you know, ownership of the house or ownership or any of the property that you guys may have together.
Okay. That includes kids, too?
That would definitely include the kids, too, yes.
Okay, great.
Okay, I'm getting a little bit of a mixed message here, or maybe I'm interpreting it the wrong way, because I always thought you said before when you were in here talking about divorce that in the eyes of the Georgia courts that adultery, they don't really take that into consideration. But I'm hearing something different today.
Well, no, really. There's two, when you look at divorce, there's two big areas that you'd look at as far as support and that kind of thing goes. One is support, alimony, and the other is division of property.
Okay.
If the divorce is based on adultery and that's the grounds for the divorce, then that would be a bar to receiving alimony. When you're talking about the division of property itself, what you guys have accumulated during the course of the marriage, the adultery probably doesn't have that big of an effect on how that property is going to be divided.
I see.
Georgia is what's called an equitable division state, which means the court's supposed to divide that marital property fairly. Typically, you're going to see more or less a 50-50 division when you walk into court. And even things like adultery don't necessarily affect that 50-50 division.
Okay. And here is Tom, who wants to be on The Voice Disguiser. Hey, Tom, divorce advice from Evan Summerstein.
Hey, what it is, I've caught my wife having several affairs. I've already filed for divorce. I had hired a private investigator and got a lot of video of her and a couple of guys together. And, you know, couldn't afford to keep the private investigator going, but their relationships are still ongoing. And I'm wondering if it would help my case to continue to video or audio through the phone or through a videotape them together.
Good question.
Really, I mean, ultimately what you need to do is prove to the court that adultery's going on, and it sounds like you've gotten way more than enough evidence of the fact that the adultery's going on. Also, you need to be really careful taping. The laws in Georgia on tape recording phone calls is very, very strict. You're allowed to tape record any conversation that you're a party to, and you don't have to let the other side know. But if you're not part of that conversation, for instance, if you're tape recording your wife talking to a boyfriend, that is completely illegal.
So how much of the conversation do you have to be a part of? Like, if she's talking to the boyfriend, can you just run into the room and go, "Hi, Ma," and run out, and then are you part of it?
No, you'd have to be part of the conversation between...
On the phone?
You'd have to be on that phone conversation in order to tape record it.
That'd be awkward.
That's something that we got to store in the back of our heads, though. So we could do those... We can record those calls and not need their permission so long as we're on.
No.
Broadcasting is much different. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nice try.
Good try, Bert.
Give me a reason.
Yeah. Broadcasting them later comes with other restrictions.
All right. Here is one last call. Hey, Willow, good morning. You are on The Voice Disguiser with Evan Summerstein.
Hi. I have a husband that cheated on me, left me high and dry, took all the money, closed the credit cards down, left me with no car. I was in the hospital and almost died. On last Christmas, he didn't come there. He has spent up over $40,000 in debt and is accusing of me of it, and it's not mine. My attorney's not fighting for me, and he's saying that I won't get alimony. He doesn't want to give me anything. Do I have any rights?
Yeah, first of all, it doesn't sound like a great husband.
That's why she's splitting.
Yeah, you definitely do. I mean, you said that you have an attorney?
I do, and he told me that he wasn't going to fight for me. Well, his paralegal told me that he wasn't going to fight for me in court against the money that he has racked up. I mean, he racked up over $40,000, and none of that is my money. And he's trying to charge me back for my medical that the judge in the temporary hearing said that he had to pay.
Well, I would just start off with the idea that if your attorney's telling you he's not going to fight for you, you probably need to talk to a different attorney.
I know, but I don't have any money because I don't work for medical conditions.
As a sidebar, like, what do you do if you want to get divorced and you have no cash?
You know, most of the courts have really stepped up on trying to make sure it's what's called pro se is when you represent yourself. And there's been a lot of articles written lately on pro se people going forward with divorces because of the economy. People aren't able to hire attorneys right now. So the courts have taken a lot of steps to make sure that people can do that on their own.
Okay.
And most of that is on the web. I mean, if you do a search for the county itself, and I'm not talking about doing like LegalZoom where you're paying for stuff. I'm talking about free information that's out there that the courts themselves are putting out. When I talked about the Fulton County Family Division, there's forms on there for complaints for divorce, settlement agreements. There's a instruction form that tells you, you know, fill in these blanks, and here's exactly the steps you have to take to do it on your own, so that they're making that stuff accessible without having to hire an attorney.
And you give away a free divorce to every 10th caller to your office, right?
My question about somebody who, because I've had a couple of friends that have dealt with this, they've hired attorneys who started off great, but are stalling the process and making it take a really long time to finish the divorce, because the more hours they log, then the more money they make.
Sure.
And they know that that's what's going on. Is there anything they can do to speed up the process with their own attorney?
There definitely is. I mean, first of all, whether it sounds good or bad, there's plenty of work out there for divorce attorneys. So the odds of a divorce attorney stalling out a case purely so they can bill hours, probably pretty slim.
Okay.
So there's
it's just the client's perception of what's going on. It may just look that way.
I mean, so talk to the attorney about it. I mean, that's the number one thing. I think a lot of clients are just scared to talk to their attorneys. If you feel like that's going on or your case isn't moving, call your attorney. Schedule time to go in, not over the phone, go in and sit down with them and say, look, explain to me why this is taking so long.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on here? I mean, part of the problem sometimes is you're waiting for a court date.
Mm-hmm.
It can take 45 days to 3-4 months to actually get on a court calendar and get your case to be heard nowadays. So sometimes that may be the cause for the delay. It could be the attorney's fault.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really a matter of figuring out what the reason is for that delay. And if the fault is, you know, if the problem is the attorney, then go get a different attorney.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know where to start, we're giving you a place right here. Evan Summerstein, just go to our website and we have a link on over to Hunter Weinstein and Summerstein. And you can get in touch with them that way. Thanks, Evan.
Thanks, guys.
I know you're busy. Very, very, very busy right now. So thanks for your time.
Good to see y'all.
Appreciate it.
Hey, The Bert Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane. Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Bert Show.
This is Karen here. And I think the family had a puppy up until a couple of days ago. Uh-huh. Hey, Karen.
No, it's today. It's happening today. And the kids are supposed to be at school.
I got you. Okay, what's going on?
Well, I bought my kids a puppy for Christmas. A little black lab, really cute. She's really cute. Her name's Maddie, and she's super cute. But she's a real handful, and I just kind of can't take it anymore.
Well, she's a puppy.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Your rescue groups right now are just screaming because you got a puppy for Christmas, number
Christmas
one.
Puppy, yeah.
And number two, here it is, January what, and you're ready to give it back?
What's the puppy doing that's so out of the ordinary that you're thinking?
She's just really out of control. She tears everything up. And, you know, I'm not at home during the day. When I get home, there's poop and there's pee everywhere. And, like, you know, anything that's made of paper is completely shredded and all over the house, like snowfall. We've tried everything, you know. I've read manuals, and I've been doing the dog whisperer. It's not working.
Have you tried crate training or anything like that? Or it sounds like you're giving her so much room to get her paws and her nose into things that she's just not ready for that yet.
We just can't handle it. And I have three kids, and they're a real handful already. And so, I mean, they love her, but I have a family coming to get her, you know, who can handle it. And I was going to make something up, but now the kids are home, so I don't know what to say or do. If they do come today, they might not come because of the roads, but you never know.
Is it worth having a conversation about the way you should be training the puppy, or have you already decided that the puppy's going?
I don't know. She's crazy. She's crazy.
I'm just curious, if they had gone to school today, what were you going to make up and say?
I don't know. Maybe like that Santa needed the puppy back. I'm not sure.
Santa needed his puppy back.
That's not good.
That's awesome.
You need to think it through a little bit more than that. I do know families that have to give up their animals. I've, you know, had friends that had babies with all these allergies and had to give up their dog because of that. Or they got a dog and they just couldn't handle it because it seems like a great idea when mom and dad decide this is going to be a really great responsibility, like training tool for the kids, whatever. And then all of a sudden it becomes one more responsibility on mom's list. And I get that.
They're not helping, and they're too young to help, really. Yeah, my 9-year-old a little bit, but not really.
I made this mistake a couple of years also, you know, ago. When Hollis was born, we thought we were ready for dogs at the time, so we went out. We got two English Bulldog puppies, cost us an arm and a leg. And then once we got the dogs in the house and with the new baby, it was the biggest mistake that I had ever made in my life. I mean, I felt terrible having to give the dogs back. Luckily enough, our breeder found a great family for them right down the street, and they're still together. But I made that mistake too, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
should I lie or should I tell? I mean, I don't know.
I think you got to tell them the truth. I think you got to sit down with your kids because I think it's a lesson in making mistakes or making hasty decisions. I mean, I know most people would like to tell you to, you know, suck it up and keep the dog because that was your decision. But if it's not going to work for you and the dog's going to be happier in another home, I think that's the way you should go.
Here is Jeff here. Good morning, Jeff. You are on Q100. Karen got herself got the kids a puppy for Christmas, and puppy's a little out of hand now, and she wants to give puppy back.
Well, it's called disciplining the dog, man. I mean, it's simple. It's lack of being not lazy. You just take care of the dog. Okay, you got three kids. I'm sure you have enough hands to help take care of the dog.
How old are your children?
One's 9, one's 6, and one's 4.
Well, the 9-year-old for sure should be able to help out a little bit. It doesn't even sound like you've put a lot of effort into it, though.
Well, I'm just not there most of the time during the day. And he's saying that I have hands to take care of. I have three hands to take care of three kids. I don't have four to take care of the dog as well.
Well, people are going to ask, why did you decide to get the puppy in the first place knowing this?
Mm-hmm. I didn't know. I didn't know it was going to be this hard.
You never had a dog?
Not one that's crazy like this, no.
Well, the dog's not crazy. It's just a puppy.
Just needs to be trained. You don't have the time to train your dog right now, which means
I don't have the money to send it to a school, like a dog school.
Well, this means that your wild puppy is going to turn into a wild adult dog.
Big lab
and
dog.
It's going to be a big old pain in the butt as it gets older. So I say go for it. Look, if you know you
can't handle
it.
Did the dog ran away?
No.
What is wrong with you?
You've got to sit down and be honest with your kids. I mean, they're home from school today because of the weather and the snow. I mean, it's a perfect opportunity to talk to them about it. The 4-year-old may not get it, but the 6 and the 9-year-old will get it.
Now they may step up and say, no, we'll start helping out more. And at that point, I don't know what you do.
My guess is they probably hate the dog, too, because it's taking your time away from them.
No, they love the dog.
Yeah, of course
they love
do.
The dog more than they love me, I think.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough conversation to have, for sure.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I'm not really sure.
I was hoping there was a way of avoiding it, but I guess there's not.
Can you do something like somehow make one of like maybe make the 9-year-old think they left the door open?
Stop.
Because then you could also roll it into a responsibility conversation. Like,
see now.
You could also use this opportunity to turn the family against each other. Just say that you're getting rid of the dog because of the 6-year-old. The other kids have been great, but the six-year-old has been bad with the dog, so you have to get rid of it.
There you go, Bert. Now you're thinking. You didn't need me back.
I missed you, man. That attitude is contagious. Yeah, I don't exactly know what to tell you here, but I think, you know, most of the calls coming in are going to say that you got the dog, so you should take care of the dog. But I also think that Jen's right. At the end of the day, if you don't have time, then I had to admit my mistake. We gave the dogs back. I felt horrible about it, but they've got a great family. You got to do what's best for the dog.
Yeah, I found a good family. I found a good family for them, I think.
And we're done.
Yeah, I mean, I think the life of the dog is going to be happier with a family that can take care of it and train it and have the time to care for it.
Yeah. All right, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Just be honest with
you. Good luck. Yeah. Don't make up the story.
Okay. I'm scared, but I'm going to do it. Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Good luck.
Bye.
She's not going to do it.
Didn't you? Who was it in here that had, like, animals all of a sudden were missing from the house and your parents were making
Jeff,
excuse?
Was it his bunny?
Yeah, it was my bunny got out when I was, I don't know how old you are when you own a rabbit, 10. And apparently there was a lot of fur and mangled bunny parts around the pen. So Dad cleaned all that up and just made it look like it escaped.
Mm-hmm. It was really killed by the neighborhood cat?
Yes, and they told me. Like this past summer. Like, oh, you remember the hickory you got out? My dad's like,
hickory, aww, that's right.
Hickory didn't, cat.
Didn't get out. Became an appetizer.
Get it? The Bird Show.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No